Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day to all you moms. We are grateful for you and in fact, you know what I'm going to do? I haven't told her this, but I'm going to do this anyhow. I'm going to invite my wife up here, the mother of my children. I'm going to invite her to come up here. Donna, why don't you come up? It's one of the privileges I get as a pastor, and I'm actually going to have her pray for the study. So, go ahead.
So honored. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a great God, and that you are a God who cares so much about us that you have given us mothers and fathers to care for us. And Lord, we pray now that you, Lord, who are the ultimate parent for us, you are both mother and father to us, Lord, that you will care for us and watch over us. And Lord, that even now, as we open up the word, that you would enlighten us. Lord, just as moms take time to teach their children, Lord, that you would just teach us by the power of your word now. I pray for every heart that's here, Lord, that it would be soft to receive, Lord, the seed of your word. And Lord, that fruit would come from it. Lord, we pray for anyone here that doesn't know you, Lord, that you would let them know how much you love them, Lord. And we pray now that you would do a mighty work. Speak through Dennis, Lord. Anoint him once again with the power of your Holy Spirit to teach through him, Lord. Lord, I just pray for the hearts just to be anointed as well, Lord, because we know, Lord, that it's not just the teaching that needs to be anointed, it's the hearing as well. So, Lord, I pray that you would anoint our ears and our hearts to receive what you have to speak to us today in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen.
Five children and almost 33 years of marriage. So, I've been blessed. Title of my message is Mom, the Heart of the Home. You know, nobody can write a letter like Mom. Many times nobody is expressive. There are those occasions where men are gifted in that way. But for the most part, moms can write letters that have impact. And moms love to get letters. And in the writing, I was reading through some of the letters, you know, in preparation for the Mother's Day study. There was this one mom who was a country kind of backwoods lady, not very well educated, but she had a son that was away to college and she loved him. And so she decided to take up pen and write him and let him know what was going on at home while he was away at college. And she pens these words. I'll read them for you. Dear son, just a few lines to let you know that I'm still alive. I'm writing this letter slowly because I know that you can't read very fast. You won't know the house when you come home. We've moved. About your father. He has a lovely job. He has 500 men under him. He's cutting grass at the local cemetery. In the move, I discovered what I thought was a washing machine, and it doesn't work too good. You see, last week I stuffed 14 shirts into it, pushed the lever, and I haven't seen them since. Your sister Mary had a baby this morning. I haven't found out whether it's a boy or a girl, so I don't know whether you're an aunt or an uncle. Your Uncle Richard drowned last week in a vat of whiskey at the local brewery. Some of his workmates dived in to save him, but he fought them off bravely. We cremated the body, and it took 3 days to put the fire out. It only rained once or twice last week for the first 3 days and then 4 days. Monday, it was so windy that one of the chickens laid the same egg 4 times. Well, must have been in the desert somewhere, right? We had a letter yesterday from the undertaker. He said that the last installment, if it isn't paid for, your grandmother within 7 days, up she comes. Signed, your loving mother. P.S. I was going to send you $50, but I already sealed the envelope. Listen, there's nobody like a mom. The father may be the head of the home. The children may be the hub of the home. But the mom is the heart of the home. And moms, we love you and we appreciate you. Listen. And if you ever have a question about that, those babies many times, and you've seen this on TV, I said in the first service, whenever the camera pans on that football team and those big burly guys that are in the dugouts, I said dugouts first service, somebody said they don't have dugouts at football. I said, yeah, I'm just sports illiterate, you know. But whenever those cameras pan down that, the strong lineman on the football team there on the bench, what are they doing? They're not saying, hi, Dad. What are they doing? Hi, Mom. You hold a special place in our hearts. And listen, a survey asked boys who would they would be most likely to confide in if they had a problem. 23% said their father. 77% said their mother. And so what we have before us in your honor today, moms, is a text that talks about moms. Really, a Proverbs 31 here, and we'll begin in verse 10, is an exhaustive exposition on mothers, the most exhaustive found in the Bible. And I want us to concentrate in our time together this morning on this privileged position, not easy, not simple ministry that God has set before you. And I hope as we study, it's both a challenging and convicting, but also encouraging. I know some of you moms are going, as I open up Proverbs 31, you're familiar with it. You're going, oh boy, this isn't going to feel good. Listen, we need to pray for you. None of us are perfect, and Dad's day's coming, so just hang in there. Equal opportunity sermons. But you know what? The goal, the world's, definition of what a woman is and what a woman's all about is so goofed up. And so moms, it's my hope to encourage you today in sharing what it is that your priorities should be. And hopefully, as we who are listening on, and by the way, if you are a single here and you're not a mom or don't have biological children, this isn't your time to go, oh yeah, checking out now. Let me get out my iPad and start, cruising around on the internet. No, this is a time for you to listen, because guess what? Even if you don't have children, you're single and don't have children, someday you may get married and have children, so you'll need to understand this. If you have no biological children and are unable to, and that's not going to happen for you, guess what? Have you noticed? Have you looked around? This is a family. This church, we're a family, right? Have you noticed there's no lack of children there over in the children's ministry? Approximately 500 children a week go through those doors. A Sunday morning go through those doors. So there's plenty of opportunity for you to be used in that capacity and to have an impact on those children and to disciple them. So you need to tune in. Because you see, it all starts out with character. What is a woman according to God's word, and what should be those things that mark her life? And what we see here in Proverbs as we begin is the value of a mother's worth. Number one, if you're taking note, the value of a mother's worth. How's that, you ask? Well, look in verse 10 here. It says, who can find a virtuous wife? The writer starts out with a question. Who can find a woman that, he's going to describe here in the following verses. In other words, this woman This woman is not something that you're going to see come upon easily on your own. This woman who has these qualities and is marked with this kind of character. Well, she's one that's a real find. And we know that from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, where we read these words. A man who finds a woman like this, finds a wife and finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You know, it doesn't say who can buy a virtuous wife, because a virtuous wife is not for sale. That's one of her virtues. She's not for sale. She's for the Lord. She's for Him. She wants to glorify Him. Who can find a virtuous wife? Well, you got to look for a virtuous woman. And you know what? You need the Lord's leading. Because when God describes this woman here, as we look at her, her worth is far above that of rubies, because it's not only her beauty outwardly, and that's not the priority, although that's not bad, as we will see. It's her integrity, it's her purity, it's her character that really makes this woman who she is. It's not easy to find today, increasingly, a woman who puts her family ahead of her career, who puts her responsibilities ahead of her rights. The kind of woman who accounts a motherhood as a blessing, and not just to have a child and say, you did it, but to have a child and to value that child and invest in and appreciate that child, who considers it a privilege to be a mom and not baggage. It's not easy to find a woman who keeps her vows when she says, till death do us part. And her fidelity is something that is very clearly seen in the way that she is conducting her life. You have to look hard and search diligently, and then you have to seek the Lord to find this kind of a woman. A woman of godly, moral, pure character, devoted, and a loving, committed mother is not easy to find. And for you single guys, two of the most important decisions you will ever make in your life. Pay attention. Listen up if you're single. Number one, the Lord you will serve. What are you going to do there? And number two, the lady that you marry. Now listen to me. The first decision, the Lord who you will serve, will determine whether or not you experience heaven or hell eternally. You know where I'm going with the second decision, don't you? The second decision will determine whether you experience heaven or hell in this life presently. It's so important that you allow the Lord to lead and that you make the right decision. But you see, if you are going to, you need to pay attention and tune in, guys. This is not just for ladies. These are what you're going to be looking for, you see. And God is saying to us here, essentially, man, more than looks, more than money, more than personality, you better look for character, a woman of virtue and purity and faithfulness and committed to the Lord Jesus. Not easy to find. It's like finding a rare jewel. You know what we husbands ought to put down on a piece of paper? You see these just about every Mother's Day, and they're out there on the wire today if you want to look around. What you would have to pay the average wife and mother, the average homemaker, for the duties that she does. And it's always astronomical if you had to pay her by the hour and for all the things and all the skills and all that she is involved in day in and day out as a mom. And while I'm not suggesting that you write her a paycheck monetarily, I do believe this, and kids, you need to listen as well, that mom deserves a weekly paycheck of appreciation, a daily paycheck, once someone has said, of adoration, an hourly paycheck of acclamation, a minute-by-minute paycheck of admiration, and a moment-by-moment paycheck of affirmation. And that's not just on Mother's Day. That should be every day. There's a man who came upon a lamp in the desert. And, of course, the proverbial rubbing the lamp vigorously, a genie came out. Genie says, I'm here to grant you one wish, your fondest wish. And the man thought for a moment. He said, I want a spectacular job. I want a job that no man has ever succeeded at or has attempted to do. Poof, you're a housewife, he said. Not a job that's easy. And that will become apparent as we open our text here, you see. So we look at the value of a mother's worth far above rubies. Secondly, we look at the virtues of a mother's work. What qualities are to mark a godly mom? What do we need to look for? What do we need to pray for? How can we encourage these things? Well, number one here, as we take a look at our text, we see dependability. The heart of her husband, verse 11, safely trusts her so he will have no lack of gain. Dependability. Someone, a woman who can be trusted. And this deals, as we will see frequently here in our text, with the area of finances. A good woman will not cause her husband to be singing the blues about money. She will be prudent and wise in managing the finances. She will exercise wisdom in how she handles the checkbooks. Listen, I know for a fact that one of the major problems in many marriages are money problems. You know, problems with money, people fighting about it. And sadly, sometimes, the wife can be a major cause because she just can't seem to get a grip on handling money. She buys emotionally and spontaneously and doesn't really think of the big picture, you see. Listen, we have a responsibility, men, to sit down with our wives and deal with a budget and go through those things. This poem that I read, theirs was a perfect marriage except for one feminine flaw. He was fast on the deposit, but she was quicker on the draw. Ladies, that should not be the case. And a godly wife and a woman who is interested in that. You know what? She is not a hindrance, but a help to her family. Second, we see that she is a woman of devotion. She does him good and not evil, verse 12, all the days of her life. A good wife. A godly mother and woman is a continual blessing to her family. She is a fountain of blessing that never runs dry. She does her husband good always and in all ways. For better or for worse, for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health, she stays at the task. She doesn't give up. Number three. We see another quality that marks her. She's a delight. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Note there the attitude. Not reluctantly. Not like, why me? Why does laundry never get done? Ladies, if your laundry's done right now as you sit here, hang in there. It won't be long. It's an ongoing task, isn't it? You know, it's like the Lord almost with us. Why can't I ever get done cleaning these guys up? Why do they make mess after mess after mess? When are they going to be done when we get to heaven? Before then, guess what? It's an ongoing task. The grace of our God. Cleansing and fixing the messes that we make. You see, she willingly, delightfully carries out her duties with joy. She doesn't care and do what she does for the family because she has to, but because she wants to. Not out of compulsion, but out of compassion. Her love is a labor of love. It's not easy work. She does what she does because she loves her family and because she loves her Lord and wants to bring Him glory. And doesn't mean there's not days where it's difficult, where her attitude is impacted. But you see, you got to remember, ladies, everything that you're to do heartily is unto the Lord. Fourthly, we see she's a woman of decisiveness. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Now, on that day, in order to get merchandise and things, the ships would have to sail across the seas, and she wanted the best for her family. And so she would say, you know, they would sail around and she would talk to the merchants, and she would, yeah, go get this from here for me because, you know what, I want this for my family. You know, maybe today the equivalent would be she's spent some time on Amazon.com. eBay, looking and shopping and getting the best price and the best deal for her family. She wants the finest. Fifthly, we see discipline here. She also rises in verse 15 while it's yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maid servants. Now this woman, and by nature, and I don't want you to misunderstand, sometimes we get this idea that if you don't get up before the sun gets up, you're a slacker. And we think if you get up before the sun gets up and you read your Bible and pray, you're like really spiritual. But if you're up after the sun gets up, you're carnal. And you know what? That's not what this is teaching. The fact of the matter is generally because the women have the care of the children. You know what? When they get up, she's got to get up, and she's got to get up before them. She knows if she has multiple children, if she doesn't get up before them, she's going to lose it, you know, very quickly. So she has to rise early. And this woman, apparently here as it's being laid out, is one who seeks the Lord first. You know, I thank God for a wife that has given herself to this. She spends time, gets up early, spends time with the Lord, spends time getting ready for the day spiritually, and then, you know, gets up before the family. Over the years, she has done that, and she prays for them. Listen, there's no greater preparation. Certainly, it's important that you prepare their lunches for them, while they're children, that you do those kinds of things. But you know what? Here's something that you lay their clothes out and get that ready and such. But don't forget, in all that preparation, to prepare yourself and your own heart by spending some time with the Lord. And then, you know what? Before you lose it and get upset, begin to pray. You're entering in every day to a spiritual battle. And you need to be prayed up and pray for your children because they're being attacked. And sometimes when they're attacked, they attack you. Satan uses them to get to you through their attitudes, through some of their actions, and the way they do certain things. Satan's always at work, man, trying to divide and conquer. You got to remember that you not only need to prepare physically, but you need to prepare spiritually. Be ready to go. Be paired up with the Lord's attitude and the Lord's heart as you head into the day. This woman rises while it is yet night, the Amplified Bible translates this, and gets spiritual food for her household and assigns her maids their tasks. You know what? She recognizes delegation as well. Sometimes women, you do it all because you do it all. Because sometimes it's easier for you to do it than to teach others to do and to partner with you. And you know what? This woman has, you know, people that she appoints tasks. Listen, that doesn't mean, you know, that you treat your children like slaves. But you know what? Tasks and teaching them, even if they don't do it quite as well as you, begin to hand off some of that, you know, responsibility and make things to teach them to be a team, to work together as a family. Oh, but it's easier. Yeah, I know. It's easier to do it yourself because they don't do it exactly right. But if you don't train them, how are they ever going to learn? How are they ever going to learn? Number six, diligence. She considers a field and buys it from her prophets. She plants a vineyard. Again, the Amplified Bible reads like this, and I like this. She considers a new field before she buys or accepts it, expanding prudently and not courting neglect of her present duties by assuming others. With her savings of time and strength, she plants fruitful vines in her vineyard. You hear that? This woman is expanding things and buying things, but she's not neglecting in her expanding of her scope and her duties. She's not neglecting her present duties by assuming others. Some leave the I want to leave the dull, kind of mundane things of raising children, and I want an exciting career. God help you if that's your attitude. You see, when she expands her impact here, she doesn't neglect the duties that are the priorities. With the savings that she has by way of time and strength, she serves the Lord in other areas. In other words, you see, if it's necessary, this woman is not afraid to work to make an extra buck if the family needs it. And there's nothing wrong with this. And as a matter of fact, some women are better Betty. Maybe that's prophetic for some woman here. Better money makers. Some women are better money makers as well as better money managers than their husbands. So it's not wrong necessarily, but I do want to caution you at two points here. Number one, ladies, and listen to this, tune in. If at all possible, when the children are young, try to spend your time at home. And men, you need to make the sacrifices and be willing to do what you can to make sure they can do that. Okay? I realize sometimes it's impossible, but you know what? Make sure that what's making it is impossible, the necessities and not the luxuries of life. Number two, ladies, before you take any outside work, ask two questions. Get this down. Ask two questions. Will this enhance me as a wife and a mother? And will it encourage my husband? Number two, will it encourage my husband? Will it enhance me and will it encourage my husband? Those two things you ask. Then, will it compete with your husband or will it complete your husband? That's another thing that you gotta, you know, look at. Listen, if you compete with your husband, well, I'm gonna make more money than you. I'm gonna do better than you. Watch out for that kind of thing because that's gonna cause you problems. So you need to ask yourself those two things before you extend your outreach there. Number seven, determination. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. Now, at first, this sounds like she's into bodybuilding, like the kid with the abs there. But what this really means is she's not afraid of hard work. She's willing to step it up and step in and do her part of the work, to do whatever it takes around the house to make it hum and to bring harmony there and to get the job done. Number eight, She's a woman of discernment. She perceives in verse 18, rather, that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. The NIV translates this. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp doesn't go out by night. Again, she's a student of economics. She knows how to stretch the dollar. She looks for the best buy. She's not sucked in by these so-called bargains. She looks for the biggest bang for the buck. But she also tries to teach her family not to be stalled in the sludge of materialism, and teaching the children how to deal with money and how to get a good value out of a dollar. That's taught by example. Number 9, diversity. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. This is talking about, you know, the distaff was a little wood pole that the raw wool was on, and then they would hold that, and then there was a thing, the spindle there, that it would wrap from that to, you know, one thing to the other, and she'd hold it there and unwrap it and wrap it around the spindle so she could use it in the manufacturing of clothing. This is a woman who has practical knowledge of how to do practical things and keep things going. The best term you could use here, she's a good homemaker. The glue that really holds the family together. Someone has observed the quickest way for a mother to get her children's attention is to sit down and look comfortable. Have you ever found that, ladies? Mom! What are you doing sitting there? It's almost like, or you feel like that sometimes. In fact, I heard about a little boy and his dad who were looking at his wedding album. The little boy saw his mother standing there in a white dress, and he said, "Daddy, is that when Mom came to work for us?" But I thank God for the hardworking moms, the hardworking women in this church. I thank God for my wife who works hard. Dutiful. Verse 20, number 10. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. This speaks about the fact that the kind of woman who her home is organized, her home is in order. She loves her children and she's impacting them. But that's not all. She goes outside the home, beyond the home, and ministers to others. Not only does she minister to her family, but she ministers through her family. She helps them to have a soft heart, and they see her compassion as she reaches out to others. People that are not part of her immediate family. I thank God for the ladies here, and you know who you are, who when we have a need in this church, and it's always been met, and I'm always blessed by it, when a lady gets pregnant, a lot of times we have no, like, organized thing. We just have through the women's ministry, so-and-so's pregnant, they just have the baby, let's take them meals. And we have women who step up and take meals. If somebody's going through, you know, a time where they're losing a loved one or something, and they need assistance there. I thank God for the women in this church who just willingly see the need there and beyond their own home and caring for their own family, compassionately reaching out and providing the meals and stepping up to fill in the gaps over all these years in this church. I mean, it's a great credit and testimony to the Lord. And you don't just say, "I love you." You do, "I love you." And to sometimes strangers, you don't even know these people, and you're taking them a meal. You see, that teaches your children, reaching out beyond your own family and your own home. Then we see number 11, dedication. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. In other words, when the snow comes, when suddenly the weather changes and a situation pops up, there's an emergency, guess what? She's there and she's ready. She's ready. I joke with my daughter, Jacqueline, a lot, because, you know, with her three girls and then one on the way, you know, she's got this diaper bag that is giant size. You almost need a dolly to cart it around on. But you know, the thing that I'm always amazed at is no matter what, I don't know how she does it, but she thinks ahead. And you know what? She's always got everything, anything you need. She's ready for any kind of emergency that may happen, you know. And she just, this happened. Oh, just reach into the diaper bag in the pocket on the right down there. You find this stuff. And I'm just amazed at it. She's ready. That's what this is talking about. You're ready for whatever may take place. And you're ready for a weather change and change in plans and that kind of a thing. She's prepared for the emergency. Dedicated in that sense, you see. Number 12, decorum. I'm trying to stay with the D's here, so I'm using some words you're going, yeah, what's that? I had to look it up myself. Actually, I did it in my little thesaurus thing. I cheated. But it talks about her appearance. Verse 22, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now, fine linen and purple, that's not like your regular flannels and work clothes, sweats and that kind of a thing. The idea here, you get the idea, fine linen, like Ralph Lauren linen, like Diesel linen, although Diesel doesn't have linen, but it's high end, nice, well fitted, nice clothing. This woman wants to look her best. And she cares about her appearance. We should do the best with what God gives us. Really, that's what it's saying. Ladies, keep yourself as attractive as you can. Make yourself look as good as you can. I'm trying. That's why I wore a black coat today. Why? Because I look in the mirror, I got a white pasty face and I got white hair and I got light blue eyes. Where is the contrast, dude? If I take off this coat, he goes away. Yeah, pretty much. So here's the deal. I'm just doing the best with what I got, okay? And I can't see like I used to, but I do put on my glasses and trim the hairs on my eyebrows. So if you see some wild ones, when you get old, you can't see them anymore. The hairs in your ears, you try, you got to really make an extra effort to kind of look like you're not, kind of going down the road of craziness, So do the best you can. There are some denominations and religious groups who think it's a sin if women wear makeup. I think sometimes it's a sin if some don't. The house needs painting. We'll paint all right. Now, you don't want to overemphasize that at the expense of the family and of the spiritual priorities. But listen, pay attention to how you look. Okay? It's important. It shows that you love your husband. It shows that you love your children. It shows that you love the Lord. It glorifies God. 13, deference. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. The gates of the city in that day were like the civic center, the place of commerce and business. What you have here is a husband whose wife, he is a very successful. Why? Because, and the acknowledgement here is his wife has made him such. Listen, men, I know for me personally, if my wife weren't the woman she is and didn't make the sacrifices she made, I could not do what I'm doing. She gets tremendous kudos for her prayerfulness, her graciousness, her support to stay behind the scenes, her face not flashed all over everything, everywhere. Some of you, maybe until this morning, you didn't really know who she was, really. But I'll tell you what. When I was, especially in the younger days, when I traveled and all five kids were at home, she couldn't travel with me. Guess what? She stayed at home and she stayed by the stuff and she, took care of those five kids all by herself and just handled that while I was gone ministering here and there and was able to be used of the Lord here and sacrifice and spend the time here and do what I do. Listen, because she is there. And here's another thing, ladies. And listen to this. Tune in. She makes me look good. Okay? And what I'm saying by that is she doesn't pick out my clothes necessarily. But guess what? She's not walking around bad-mouthing me. She's not at the ladies' ministry talking about, yeah, my husband, you know, he did this, he did that. You know what? She makes me look good. Because, you see, she loves me, and love covers a multitude of sin. She knows what a sinner I am. But she doesn't go around telling you guys all my sins. We need to stop that stuff, man. Don't be bagging on your husband, ladies, and putting them down to, yeah, my husband. And you know what, man? This guy, good wife, virtuous wife, made him look good at the gates, and she wasn't there to say, it's all me. No, you know what? She's really, hey, God be glorified in this. And she knows her rewards are in heaven. She knows her rewards are in heaven. Now, that said, that doesn't mean we don't give her some commendation and kudos now, okay? Okay, guys? Do you hear that? That's a good thing to do. A good thing, if you're not practicing it, to put it into practice. This woman here has a dignity. A strength and honor are her clothing. Honored means dignity. She's a gracious woman of integrity. And listen, she dresses like a lady. She looks like a lady. She acts like a lady. She sounds like a lady. And it goes on to say, she shall rejoice in time to come there in verse 25. Because of her faith, she can face the future. And because of her faithfulness, she doesn't fear it. The fact of the matter is, you see, is God's hand is on the godly woman in a mighty and in a powerful way. And it brings dignity. It brings respect. It brings admiration from others. And her demeanor, number 16, she opens her mouth, verse 26, with wisdom. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. Now listen, nobody sets the atmosphere, ladies, in the home like you. And if you're walking around and you're wondering why the kids are always yelling and screaming at each other, I'm not saying this is always the case, but you might take a look, you might give a listen. It might be something that they're hearing. A soft answer turns away wrath. Ladies, maybe your answers are pretty hard. This woman is, her lips are filled with kindness, and then 17, discretion. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She runs a tight ship, keeps things running smoothly. Ladies, now listen, just reading this doesn't wear you out. You're going, oh man, man. But you know what? It makes me more grateful for my own mom, for my wife, for the ladies in this church body, this church family. Nobody knows, ladies, your job like you do, and the thankless service many times that you give, things that go unnoticed. Listen, just because that's the case frequently, don't give up. What's the use, you say? Well, look at, thirdly here, the victory of a mother's walk. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. The praise. Men, are you hearing that? Are you hearing that? You guys ought to get a clue. We all ought to get a clue. And I'm in this with you. Praise ought to be lavished on your precious bride. The mother of your children. Your own mother. And children, listen, you ought to praise your mother. Everybody loves, don't they, to be praised. And it's one thing when people that don't know you too well, that don't wash your underwear, that don't, you know, deal with your life, when they praise you, well, that's nice and that's cool. But sometimes you're thinking, they don't know me. But when those that are closest to you praise you and speak highly of you, hey, guess what? It means a lot to you, doesn't it? In fact, the praise of your children and your husband for a lot of you women, and guys, listen to this, means more than the praise of the President of the United States. You see, because It's coming from those close to you. No legacy of a woman lasts longer than the legacy of being a godly wife and a godly mother. Listen to these final two verses here. Charm is deceitful, ladies. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Charm is deceitful. There are a lot of charming people who deceive through charm. Watch out. What you are in private is what you really are, not what you are when you're charming the people around you. Beauty, physically, is vain. As I've already said, that doesn't mean that you don't do the best you can to make yourself beautiful physically. But know this, it is vain in the sense that it's not going to last. Yeah, it's not going to last. Hate to break it to you, ladies. Listen, man, it's fading, the outward beauty. I don't look like I did when I was 18. I don't look like I did when I was 35. You see, I am aware acutely of the reality that while I may look okay presently, this is getting uglier all the time. I mean, it's just a reality. I mean, I hate the fact that hair grows in places that, you know, just, and I don't like the fact that I got puffy eyes and wrinkles here now, and I'm starting to get these little jaw things here and the neck things. And I take off and wear short sleeve shirts. My skin looks like chicken skin and, you know, I'm not liking that. It didn't used to be that way. Listen, the beauty is fading outwardly. Here's the comfort. The outward man is perishing. Okay? That's the reality. So you can fix it up. You can Joan Rivers it. Spend multiple millions of dollars. Look like your face is caught in an elevator all the time, you know. And you can spend all that money and do all that stuff. I mean, I pray for her soul, but I mean, she's had too much work. But it's still fading. The outward man is perishing. Here's the hope. The hope isn't in the outward man. The hope is in the beautification of the inward man that is renewed day by day by the Spirit of the Lord as we pay attention to our spirits. And here's what happens. The beauty inwardly, and I've seen people lying on their deathbed that didn't look so pretty outwardly, just as you look at them, just as objective, just subjectively. But when you know them and sense God's presence, there's a beauty that overtakes that. And I know some of the ladies in this church that are just beautiful, older saints, and the beauty can't be taken away. It just exudes from them because of the Spirit of God in them and through them. There's a joy, there's a peace, there's a love, there's a passion for the Lord that grows. The beauty of godliness and graciousness never fades away, and every woman can be beautiful in Christ. President Theodore Roosevelt said this at the turn of the century. Listen to these words, Mom. When all is said, it's a mother, and the mother only, who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for this country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright boys and girls who are to be the men and the women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, Realize it when you're changing those diapers, when you're doing that laundry, when the kids aren't getting their homework done, when you got to run them here and there. If you would only realize it is more honorable as well as more important in position than any men in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. The reality is what have we seen in this century as moms have left mothering and moved that back, many in this world, as a priority, move that off the plate and put their career put the career as the priority in their lives. What has happened? Are we doing better as a nation? Are the families doing better? Are the kids doing better in school? Is there a sense of love and sense of family? No. What's happened? The enemy has successfully seduced many into thinking that being a mom, that being a wife, that being a woman of God is not where it's at. Ladies, may I encourage you. This morning, we love you. We appreciate you. And men, we need to say it more often. Maybe your mom doesn't live close by. Listen, sit down and write your mom a letter. Let her know how grateful you are and that you appreciate her. Pay a visit to her. Oh, you haven't been down in a while. Oh, mom, I'm busy. Pay a visit to your mom. Not just today on Mother's Day. That kind of expected kind of happens. But I'm talking about through the weeks. You know, make that phone call. Make and just let her know how you're doing. Let her know that you love her. Let her know that you're praying for her. Do that extra special chore, kids around the house. You know, teenagers, somebody. Hey, not just today. Okay, I'm not talking today. I'm talking. Put it in your schedule on a regular basis. Don't wait to buy the best flowers for her funeral because dead noses can't smell roses, someone has said. Get her flowers now and get her the nicest and spend the money. Show to your mom the respect and the love if she's living, you see. And if they're not, then give honor and thank God for their memory. Let me wrap this up by saying, if the Bible says that we're to honor our father and mother, and we are, how much more does that apply to our Heavenly Father? Have you honored Him today? I mean, have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? Can you say today that God is your Father? You can't unless you've been born again. You can't unless you've come to Him and asked forgiveness for your sin. And some of you may be here. And let me just warn you, if you've got a mom that's praying for you, you're in trouble. You're not going to escape. You can run, but you're not going to win. And thank God. I ran for years. My mom prayed for me and prayed for me and prayed for me. And here I am. She won. And you know what? I thank God every day she won. And if you have a mom that's praying for you, listen. Maybe you're here because it's Mother's Day. She wanted me to go to church. So I'm in church right now hearing this boring preacher preach. You're in trouble. Why continue the battle? You know God loves you. You know you've seen what God's done in her life and the joy and the peace she has and the love she has for you. And listen, Jesus died on the cross because He loved you to take what you deserve for your sin. That you might have a relationship with Him. There's no greater way to honor your mother than to honor God and give your life to Him. Come today and let your sin be forgiven and your life be changed through the power not of a religion, but through the power of a relationship with a living Savior who died and rose again, that we might have life and that more abundantly. Let's pray.